The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avra Lewis from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence and Ebony magazines. The first article today is from Essence. Apple relaunches news service with exclusive Essence content. Essence was one of five media companies highlighted during Apple's announcement on Monday. There's now a brand new way to read and experience Essence beyond the physical page. Apple announced Monday that it would be relaunching Apple News, now dubbed Apple News Plus. And of course, Essence was tapped to be one of the media companies highlighted during the tech company's highly anticipated presentation. "We are bringing magazines to Apple News," Cook said Monday. "Magazines are iconic and a part of our culture. For $9.99 per month, Apple News Plus subscribers can get access to approximately 300 magazine titles for their entire family. The first month, however, is free." Essence's Chief Content and Creative Officer, Moana Liu, is excited that Apple is investing in Essence to share our message of celebrating Black girl magic wider with animated covers and bold photography optimized for the iPhone, iPad, and the iMac. Essence has been working with the Apple team on this exciting launch, showcasing our stunning cover star, Issa Rae, in addition to our excitingly beauty feature package, both shot by Black female photographers, Liu said in a statement. "This launch presented us with the perfect opportunity to convey the important message of diversity and inclusion in media. Essence is charging the landscape with the addition of our new video cover element as part of this launch. This was a groundbreaking opportunity for us, and we know that our audience will agree," she added. Essence's Chief Digital Officer, Darlene Jean, sees a whole new audience and increased engagement on the horizon for the magazine after partnering with Apple's immersive magazine service. "Apple News is a dynamic way of Essence to engage our core audience with our robust content," Jean said in a statement. "It helps us to attract new followers and broaden our reach on a global scale. Everything here is curated by the Apple News editors, which makes it really easy to highlight the best content around," Wyatt Michelle said Monday while demonstrating the new app. "This is really a great example of it. This is Essence designed for the phone. Essence readers will be able to use Apple News Plus to see more of our April cover story." The next article, also from Essence, reads, "New report on Black women reveals triumphs and challenges." A newly released report is shedding light on key issues: politics, money, education, health, and more, impacting America's 22.7 million Black women. Friday, in the nation's capital, leaders of the civic group Black Women's Roundtable unveiled Black Women in the United States 2019, centering Black women and girls' leadership and public policy agenda in a polarized era. It's sixth in a series of annual reports released by the organization that examines the overall conditions and various concerns of Black women throughout the United States. This is our annual inquiry into the challenges and triumphs that Black women face across the U.S., said Melanie Campbell, President, CEO of the National Coalition of Black Civic Participation and conveyor of the Black Women's Roundtable. It aids us in telling our stories and helps to frame policies for public officials to champion our priority causes. The Mariah Fund, Ford Foundation, AARP, and Oxfam provided support for the report, which utilizes data and expert insight from some 24 contributors nationwide, all Black women, their academias, attorneys, elected officials, executives, community advocates, and more. Campbell said the document takes a deeper dive into issues revealed in the annual Power of the Sister Vote poll, which BWR and Essence have released each September for the past 4 years. The timing of the release of Black Women in the United States 2019 follows a historic midterm election in November 2018. Amid record voter turnout, Black women and women overall made historic political gains that yielded more diverse representation in Congress and at the state and local levels. Moreover, the analysis comes ahead of an anticipated high-stakes race in 2020 for the White House. Among the candidates is Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat, California. She's among a handful of Black women. The late Congressman Shirley Chisholm was the first majority party candidate in the early 1970s who sought the presidency. Fast forward to the 21st century, and there's ample evidence that Black women are asserting their collective power in unprecedented ways, be it in the voting booth, on college campuses, or in Hollywood. Yet a range of deeply entrenched issues requires attention. While this year's report shows a maturation of Black women's political power, it also finds that many old and new challenges remain, said Avis Jones DeWeaver, Ph.D., a senior policy advisor for BWR, who served as editor-in-chief of the report. Far too many of us remain economically fragile, are especially likely to experience violence at the hands of someone we love, and continue to face maternal mortality rates unparalleled in the industrial world. But Jones DeWeaver, President CEO of Insight Unlimited, said there's also good news. Politically, Black women are making the shift from being leading voters to now significantly increasing our presence as political power brokers. We are also continuing to achieve a high levels of educationally and are carving out a larger presence in the tech space. The authors write that Black women in the United States, 2019, takes a deep look at this dichotomy and shares a multifaceted analysis of just where Black women are now, where we've been, and where we're going. From Essence, She the People, Nyasia Williams and the Fight for Black Empowerment Through STEM Literacy. Nyasia Williams, 24, the National Chair of National Society of Black Engineers, sees lack of exposure to and opportunity in STEM as a continuation of systemic economic and socioeconomic oppression. Nyasia Williams is incredibly passionate about STEM, specifically within the Black community. Perhaps that is no surprise if you know the 24-year-old's resume. Currently, Williams is the National Chair of the National Society of Black Engineers, NSBE, the largest student-governed organization for Black students and professionals in STEM. She's a practicing engineer at Pratt & Whitney, an aerospace manufacturer in East Hartford, Connecticut. But for Williams, STEM is more than just working in the fields of science, technology, engineering, or math. Most important for her is STEM education, or as she puts it, STEM literacy. The next economy is going to be based off of technology. We know that. We see more jobs are opening up, and we see it in the globalization of our economy in many other countries. And again, that's all driven by technology, Williams explained to Essence. If our young people are either not exposed or under-equipped or not given the opportunity to participate in STEM or STEM education, we will not be able to participate in the careers, in the professions that will raise the quality of our life for our children, Williams continued. And I see that as not only a huge loss, but a continuation of systemic, economic, and socioeconomic oppression. The only way that I see for our community again to raise itself up and then be able to participate and compete would be at least to be STEM literate, she added. Williams stresses that she is not advocating that everyone go to the traditional engineering route that she went, knowing that everyone's interest does not lie in the same field. However, she does believe there should be a widespread ability to hold a conversation. I meet a lot of children, young ladies, who are very interested in makeup, and they want to have their own makeup line. And what I tell them is that especially anything with the arts or creativeness, you at least need to know the business aspect of it because you're trying to run your own business. But then also you need to know how your products are made. So that one, either you can make it yourself, or two, if someone is quoting you and saying, this is how much it's going to take and this is what should go in it, you'll be able to say yes and no because you're educated on the materials and how things mix together, she pointed out. There's so much value in STEM literacy across multiple career paths. And again, without that, the Black community and other minority communities, quite frankly, would be left behind. We really need those of us who do know better and who do have the access. We need to continue to pry the door open, Williams added. And it does take a bit of prying. Williams remembers always being interested in science and problem solving all her life. Her stepfather, who unfortunately passed away when she was 10 years old, was a mechanic. Her mother, a certified chef, encouraged her exploration. If I said I wanted to explore this or I was interested in that, my mother would actively try to find ways for me to do that, Williams recalled. I would go to the kitchen and try to mix something up, and she was never dismissive or angered by it. All she said was, don't use up all my flour, and just put things back where you got them from. But it was fine that I did explore. Her stepfather, who once built a car, would take her on trips to pick up parts and other materials needed to refurbish the car. Even that experience, where again, it wasn't something so girly according to stereotypes, because I was interested and because I wanted to learn, I was allowed to do that, Williams said. By the eighth grade, Williams knew she wanted to study mechanical engineering, something that she felt incorporated all of her interests in science, math, art, design, and also, of course, just helping people. But she was soon struck by the realization that her desire wasn't always met with open encouragement that her mother and stepfather displayed. Going through middle school and high school having that kind of want and desire, it was very much an anomaly, Williams told Essence. I didn't actually get much support, and for some people, I would say it was because of negative thoughts about me and my profile being young, African-American, and a female child that wasn't necessarily the profile for an engineer, especially somebody in the mechanical field, she said. There were also those people who simply didn't know how to help, such as when Williams was prepping for college. How do you apply? What type of programs do you go after? They really didn't know. And I found that out in high school when I was applying to colleges. My counselor literally handed me an old school brochure book that listed all the programs and all of the schools and said, go through it like old school and figure out where you want to go. And that's the help I got, she added. As such, Williams has made it a point to push STEM education, not only in a personal capacity, but as the chair of NSBE. Williams currently sits on the board of directors for STEM, Education and Diversity, and Inclusion at Achieve Hartford, a group of private sector leaders working to close the opportunity and achievement gap in Hartford and build a viable talent pipeline for the region. She is also involved with Access Education in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which provides STEM-focused academic enrichment and college prep resources for K-12 students. Williams also works with Girls for Technology, which provides STEM after-school and weekend activities to serve to underserved and underrepresented girls in the region. Williams got exposed to NSBE during her sophomore year at Rutgers, where she was STEM scholar with NSF at the Camden campus. She remembers looking around her community and realizing that there was a lack of resources and lack of people who were willing to teach or work with underserved young people, and so she started mentoring. Her drive for community involvement prompted her to join Sigma Beta Sorority, and soon she dove headfirst into NSBE, working her way up from technical outreach and community health chair to national chair. The next article from Essence, Antoine Rose, Pittsburgh student walks out in protest of Michael Rosenfeld not guilty verdict. Pittsburgh's public schools superintendent Anthony Hamlet said that while students have the right to protest, they must do so with parental permission or receive an unexcused absence or tardy. Pittsburgh students have walked out of class and flooded the streets in protest of former East Pittsburgh police officer Michael Rosenfeld being found not guilty in the June 2018 shooting death of 17-year-old Antoine Rose II, WPXI Pittsburgh reports. As Essence previously reported, Rosenfeld shot Antoine 3 times in his arm, back, and face. As the teen allegedly fled after Rosenfeld pulled over the vehicle in which he was an unarmed passenger. It took jurors approximately 3 hours to acquit the police officer of all charges, including first-degree murder, third-degree murder, voluntary manslaughter, and involuntary manslaughter. According to witness John Leach, Rosenfeld opened fire on Antoine just as the teen turned to run. According to Leach, the officer cried, "Why did I shoot? Why did I fire?" Conflicting reports quote Leach as saying Rosenfeld said, "I don't know why I shot him. I don't know why I fired." Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent Anthony Hamlet said that while students have the right to protest and be supported in their protest, they must do so with parent or guardian permission or receive an unexcused absence or tardy. We may not all process Antoine's death and the outcome of this case the same way, but we can all agree that any student who is affected by these events deserves to feel safe and supported by our community, Hamlet wrote in a statement. It is our responsibility to work together to manage our personal feelings and reactions to focus on the impact this has had on our students. We respect the right of all students to lawfully and peacefully protest. We take seriously our responsibility to keep all students safe and secure, Hamlet continued. School leaders have been encouraged to work with student leaders to develop a plan that ensures students are safe while participating in any demonstrations. Hamlet said the district could not support students leaving class and entering into unpredictable and potentially hazardous situations. When Hamlet does not name here, but should, is that police officers responding to the protests are a potential threat to students and cannot be trusted to show up in peace nor with the professionalism they often claim to possess. This had been made abundantly clear not only by the preponderance of extrajudicial killings around the country, but the police state's often antagonistic and violent response to protests seeking justice to those killings, as was the case with Baltimore students walked out of the class to protest the state-sanctioned police killing of Freddie Gray. U.S. star Shahadi Wright Joseph on Representation and Black Girl Magic by Ebony. I started acting when I was about 9, the young star said. I got an audition for The Lion King on Broadway, and I booked that. I just kept going with Broadway, musical theater, and then I got into The Lion King remake, which is coming out on July 19th. Now we're here at US. Joseph, 13, reprised her Broadway role as young Nala for Disney's 2019 live-action adaptation of its 1994 classic film. The voiceover work was much different than her experience for Peele's Get Out follow-up. It's kind of challenging, she said, about playing a good and evil role in the feature film. I think all of the cast members portrayed their characters really well, and it was so great seeing the finished product at the premiere. It was really spectacular hearing everybody's reaction. The 13-year-old is in the film's cast alongside Lupita, Winston Duke, and Evan Alex as a black family terrorized by their doppelgangers. Meeting the Black Panther stars was nerve-wracking for the teen, but they eventually developed a familial bond, which is evidenced by their on-screen chemistry. Although US is rated R, Joseph revealed that her parents welcomed her being a part of the movie because the role was a great stepping stone into Hollywood. It's a really good role to get started into the film industry, the young actress said, especially a horror movie nonetheless, the most anticipated horror movie. That was kind of crazy, going from musical theater and switching to horror pretty quickly. It was such a fantastic experience. US is filled with numerous motifs, but Joseph said the movie is really that we are our own enemy. In an inference, she came to well after filming because she was too nervous to ask the director what it meant. I felt like I was too far into shooting to really ask him, she clarified. Peele explained it to everybody at SXSW when he said, "We as a people are kind of scared of the other. So sometimes we need to just look at ourselves and see that we are the monster." A highlight of the nearly 2-hour film was the casting of a black family as the lead characters, which isn't typical in the horror game, in the horror genre. That form of representation was not lost on the 13-year-old who donned a Black Girl Magic t-shirt at Rolling Stone's Women Shaping the Future brunch in New York City on March 20th. It's spectacular, things that us black girls accomplish, Joseph said about the catchphrase. I guess it means a lot about our intelligence, our beauty, and stuff like that. I think representation is so important for young black boys and girls, she said in conclusion. It's great that this film really showcases a beautiful, dark-skinned family because we really don't get a lot of that, unfortunately. I think Jordan really represented us correctly. Us is now in theaters. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claps back at Fox News host Laura Ingraham and guests for racist mockery of accent name. This article is from Essence. Laura Ingraham and her guest Joe Dig-Anova made fun of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, claiming she puts an accent in ears when she says her name. You think by now folks would know better than to run up on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but alas, they never learn. On Tuesday night, Fox News, Laura Ingraham and her guest of the moment, Joe DiGenova, decided it would be fun to mock the young congresswoman for the name and base off her accent, claiming she was doing, quote-unquote, Latina thing, whatever that means. You notice when she introduces herself, she takes on that Obama, you know, Obama put on accents, Ingraham told DiGenova on Tuesday's episode of the Ingraham Angle. She does that Latina thing where she does her, you know, Anastasia Ocasio-Cortez. DiGenova agreed, putting on an exaggerated accent and butchering Ocasio-Cortez's name while he was at it. And I assume she's going to love that when I do that, he added after he was done. But again, AOC is not the one to be trifled with, and she was swiftly bit. And so she swiftly bit into Ingraham and DiGenova's mockery. If by the Latina thing she means I actually do the work instead of just talk about it, then yeah, I'm doing the Latina thing, Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, unless, of course, she's talking about being bilingual and being multilingual, which we now know isn't a Latina thing, it's a 21st century thing. But she didn't stop there, launching a series of tweets educating everyone on her name while not so subtly calling out Ingraham and her bigotry. We have now run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.